We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 777, 777 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on the question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible. Now in its 8th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Might have asked your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published by the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print, 42,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not order your copy today for yourself and your friends? Just call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9, the Defined King James Bible. Then I'm holding in my hand the 104-page book. We're going to send it to you free and postpaid upon request. It's called Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions, A Refutation of One Bible Only. This book is a $12 value. We'll send it to you free and postpaid, 104 pages. It gives you the information we've been talking about, the errors, the fuzzy facts from these fundamentalists at Central Baptist Seminary and other fundamentalist schools, whether it's Bob Jones University, whether it's Central Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary, whatever it may be, Detroit Baptist Seminary. These schools have fuzzy facts, and they're fundamentalist schools on Bible versions. Free and postpaid, write us Fuzzy Facts at 1-800-JOHN-10-9, or simply Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. All right, we're talking about Fuzzy Fact number, let's see what the number is. It's number 100, where they have said, we talked about Erasmus being the one who first published in 1516 the Textus Receptus, as if that's the beginning of the Textus Receptus. Now, that's what's implied. Last week, we talked about the historical evidences, 36 historical evidences supporting the Textus Receptus kind of Greek manuscripts, 37 historical links. We began last broadcast with the Apostolic Age, 33 A.D. to 100 A.D. We moved on to the early church period, 100 to 312 A.D. We moved then to the Byzantine period, 312 to 1453 A.D., and that's where we are now today. And with number 16 out of the 37 historical links. And then we'll move into number 18, and that's the links in the early modern period, 1453 to 1831. For instance, the churches of the Reformation all use the received kind of text. Number 19 out of 37 links. Erasmus' Greek New Testament, 1516, used the received kind of text. Number 20, the Complutensian Polyglot, 1522, used the received kind of text. Number 21, Martin Luther's German Bible, 1522, used the received kind of text. Number 22, William Tyndale's Bible, 1525, used the received kind of text. Number 23, the French version of Oliver Tan, 1535, used the received kind of text. Historical link number 24, the Coverdale Bible, 1535, used the received kind of text. Historical link 25, the Matthew's Bible, 1537, used the received kind of text. Historical link number 26, the Taverner's Bible, 1539, used the received kind of text. Historical link number 27, the Greek Bible, 1539 to 41, used the received kind of text. Historical link number 28, the Stephanus Greek New Testament, 1546 to 1551, used the received kind of text. Historical link number 29, the Geneva Bible, 1557 to 1560, used the received kind of text. Historical link number 30, the Bishop's Bible, 1568, used the received kind of text. Historical link number 31, the Spanish Version, 1569, used the received kind of text. Historical link number 32, the Beza, Greek New Testament, 1598, used the received kind of text. Historical link number 33, the Czech Version, 1602, used the received kind of text. Historical link number 34, the Italian version of Diodati, 1607, used the received kind of text. Historical link number 35, the King James Bible, 1611, used the received kind of text. Historical link number 36, the Elzevir Brothers Greek New Testament, 1624, used the received kind of text. Historical link, the final one, number 37, the received text in the King James Bible, New Testament, is the original received kind of text. Now, this is the historical links, 37 historical links. My friend, with all these 37 historical links going all the way back to the apostolic age when the New Testament was written, why, oh why, do you permit your Bibles to change its Greek basis in the New Testament? Why do you accept this horrendous Greek New Testament text of the New International Version, or today's New International Version, or the New American Standard Version, or the updated New American Standard Version, or the Revised Standard Version, or any of these modern perversions using the wrong Greek text? Stick with the text of history and historical links. Fundamentalists have used it through the years, through the centuries. And the King James Bible Greek text is the one we stand by and we use continuously. It's still the words of God in the Greek text preserved for us. The words of God in the Greek text preserved for us right down to the present time. The same Greek text that underlies the King James Bible, God has preserved those words. The same Hebrew text that underlies the King James Bible, God has preserved those words as well. Well, let's go into fuzzy fact number 101 out of some 200 and so. Edward Glennie of Central Seminary wrote this. Quote, his publisher, he's talking about Erasmus' publisher, Furbin, pressured him to include the Greek New Testament in his work. Consequently, in 8 months, Erasmus edited his Greek New Testament based on the 7 manuscripts available to him at Basel. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact number 101? Well, though he had perhaps 10 manuscripts or more, not 7, they were representative of the entire manuscript tradition. In other words, if you've seen one, you've seen them all. But also, Erasmus looked through the libraries of Europe for perhaps 100 to 200 other readings. He was not confining himself to the manuscripts he had at his hands. And even if he had only this 10 manuscripts, whatever it was, and consulted 100 or 200 others' readings, he was not the basis of the received text, the text receptus. That was historically from the apostolic days to his day, 1516, when he made his first edition. And it did not originate. The received traditional text did not originate with Erasmus. He was the first one to put it into print. That is the fact. And the text that was used by the King James Bible was not that of Erasmus, 1516. It was that of Beza 82 years later in 1598. Don't let any professor, any pastor, any preacher, any teacher, any individual tell you, my friend, that the King James Bible is based on the text, the Greek text of Erasmus. Don't let them get away with that lie. It's a falsehood and it's a lie, a very devious lie. Indeed, it's based on the 82-year later text of Beza 1598. Not that there's a whole lot of difference between the texts, but I want you to get this clear. Historically and factually, Beza's 5th edition, 1598, was the text used by our translators of the King James Bible, which we stand for on this broadcast. I take no second to any people standing as I do in defense of our King James Bible and its underlying Hebrew and Greek text. Second place to no one. Well, fuzzy fact number 102. I want you to get this fuzzy fact from fundamentalists on Bible versions, my friend. It's not going to cost you anything. It just costs you a little bit of time to dial 1-800-JOHN-10-9. 104 pages. I've got it in my hand. A beautiful red and white cover. It's yours for the asking. I want you to get these fuzzy facts and my answers to them so that you will not be bamboozled by those who are peddling false doctrine, false textual information, and false theology. Well, fuzzy fact number 102, Edward Glennie of Central Seminary wrote this, quote, "First, the majority text is based on a large textual base, well over 4,000 manuscripts. The TR, Text of Receptus, essentially based on the 7 late manuscripts that Erasmus used to prepare his text in 1516. Did you get that lie, that falsehood? Based, the Text of Receptus based on 7 late manuscripts. My friend, the Text of Receptus did not originate with Erasmus. That's false in two ways. First, the so-called majority text of Hodges and Farstad, I suppose he's referring to, was not based on, quote, well over 4,000 manuscripts, unquote, but only the 414 manuscripts of German unbeliever Van Soden. 414 manuscripts is certainly not a majority of the 5,255 plus we now have in our hands. That's the first error, the first falsehood of Edward Glennie of Central Seminary. Formerly, I guess he's left there now. The second error and falsehood, the Text of Receptus base is not Erasmus or any other late edition, but upon 99% of the 5,255 manuscripts now in hand, the Text of Receptus base goes all the way back to the Apostles. It does not rest with an edition, a printed edition, but it rests upon the cursives, which are the flowing hand manuscripts, the uncials, and the lectionaries, and the quotations and allusions for the church fathers, the early versions. It goes back to the apostolic time. It does not have its origin in Erasmus or anywhere near Erasmus' time. Manuscriptorum means handwritten. Manu is hand, and scriptus is to write. Handwritten manuscripts all the way back to the apostolic days. Well, what's fuzzy fact number 103? Edward Glennie again, Central Seminary, wrote this, quote, "The Text of Receptus, published today by the Trinitarian Bible Society, had its origin in the 5 printed editions, 1516, 19, 22, 27, and 35, of the Greek text of Desiderius Erasmus, 1469 to 1536, end of quote, page 84 in this one Bible only book. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact number 103? Well, it's absolutely false. The Text of Receptus had its origin in the original New Testament and apostolic times. Edward Glennie apparently has not even read the Trinitarian Bible Society's preface. The text was taken from that of Dr. Frederick Scrivener. And Dr. Scrivener, who was on the English Revised Version Committee of 1881, says it was based upon the 5th edition of Beza, 1598, rather than any of the editions of Erasmus. That's the Trinitarian Bible Society's preface, and I don't know how Edward Glennie, who can read English, I'm sure, as well as Greek, could find this falsehood that the Trinitarian Bible Society used the Erasmus text of 1516 and following. No, my friend, 1598, 82 years later, Beza's text, 5th edition, 1598. All these falsehoods, all these fuzzy facts were fundamentalists. They claim to be fundamentalists in these other areas of doctrine. But in bibliology, the doctrine of the Bible, they are not fundamentalists. They are not fundamentalists in their bibliology. They follow the same bibliology of the apostates and the heretics. Now, you listen well. I did not call them apostates and heretics. Listen well. I said they follow the same line of argument as to their bibliology, the doctrine of the Bible, as the apostates and liberals do. That's bad company. I don't care how fundamentalist they are in the other elements of theology and the eschatology, ecclesiology, soteriology, and so on, if their bibliology is wrong, the doctrine of the Bible, it won't take long before the other points will fall like a deck of cards. Fall like a deck of cards. Won't take too many decades or even years to do the job. Mark it down. We're living in dangerous days where fundamentalists, schools and churches and institutions are taking a dim view of Bible preservation of God's words of Hebrew and of Greek. Well, fuzzy fact number 104, have you ordered your book, free and postpaid, Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists and Bible Versions? It's a $8 book, $4 shipping and handling, $12 value, free and postpaid. Will you write? Have you written? We'll send it to you. It's in stock. We have it. I'm looking at it. Beautiful red and white cover. And an interesting thing, it tells us all these different fuzzy facts, and you can see them for yourself, and my answers to them. Fuzzy fact number 104. Edward Glennie, professor there at Central Seminary, at least he formerly was, he says, quote, Theodore Beza, 1519 to 1605, is the third key link in the development of the Textus Receptus. Beza was John Calvin's friend and successor at Geneva. End of quote. From page 84 of One Bible Only. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact number 104? Well, that's not a link in the development of the Textus Receptus. As if the TR, the Textus Receptus, is in evolution instead of something fixed in apostolic times. The Textus Receptus, the received text, the traditional text, has been the text of the churches down through the centuries. You remember on the broadcast earlier, I gave you a list of 37 historical links showing that the received kind of text began in the apostolic times and went right down to the modern times. The Westcott and Hort false Biennale of text can't make that distinction. They cannot trace the text of Biennale, Vatican and Sinai, that's based on which the NIV is based and the New American Standard Version is based and the Revised Standard and other versions. They cannot have a pedigree. They cannot have continuity from the apostolic times to the very present. No, the church has discarded this false and phony text of theirs in about 600 AD and never printed it and copied it again. They knew, the churches knew them to be false. In the lectionaries, where the New Testament Greek text was read every single Sunday, special feast days, they had the lectionaries, and there wasn't a single lectionary, not one single lectionary, read in the churches that used this fanatical, false, and phony Westcott and Hort text, now called the United Bible Society text or Nestle-Aland Greek text. Not a single one of them. The churches knew what the true text was. Instead of being as if the Textus Receptus had evolved, it's something that's fixed in apostolic times. The Textus Receptus has been the text of the churches down through the centuries, as we've said, 37 historical links. If you don't believe it, you want to see it again, get my book, Defending the King James Bible. Call us, we'll tell you how to get your copy. Defending the King James Bible. Simply call 1-800-JOHN-10-9. JOHN-10-9. And on chapter 2, you'll see these 37 historical links. The churches had accepted the traditional received kind of text from the apostolic days to the present. These were printed editions of the received text. As far as the Beza, as far as Erasmus, are printed editions, but not the origin of the Greek text at all. This is false. Fuzzy fact number 105. Edward Glennie, there again at Central Seminary, formerly, wrote this, quote, the Textus Receptus, originally based on 7 manuscripts of the Byzantine text type, that's, unquote, page 85. What's my answer to this one? Well, that is false. It was not based originally on that at all. As we've stated often before on these broadcasts, the Textus Receptus, the received text, the traditional text, call it what you will, was from the apostolic times. If Edward Grunney is talking about the printed editions, he's also wrong. The printed editions. He's also wrong. It was not based on Erasmus at all, but on Beza's 5th edition, 1598, 82 years later, after Erasmus' 1516 edition. If you get the math right, if you subtract from 1598, 1516, you get 82. 82 years later. The traditional text is one seamless garment. Dean Burgon said that the manuscripts which go along with our received text, over 99% of the evidence, and they are virtually identical one with the other. There are basically only tiny differences, such as spellings and so on. Seamless garment. I usually talk about the traditional text, something like a river, no matter where you test it. To get up here, to get up a downstream 500 yards, a mile, 2 miles, unless there's some pollution that comes in, it's the same river. It's the same river. You can't do that with the Westcott and Hort text. The Westcott and Hort B and Aleph text is corrupted from the very beginning. Not so with the traditional text. It is a seamless garment, as it were, and virtually identical in the cursives as well as the uncials and so on. Well, what did Dean Burgon say about this traditional text? He quoted, I'm quoting from the Revision Revised, which we have reproduced. The Dean Burgon Society has reprinted the Revision Revised. And on page 269, Dean Burgon said this. And by the way, let me just sum up what the Revision Revised is all about. It does four things. Number one, it exposes the false Greek text of Westcott and Hort, which is the text that is used by these new versions today, the New International, New American Standard, and so on. Exposes the false Greek text of Westcott and Hort. Secondly, it exposes the false theory behind the text of Westcott and Hort, which is your Nestle Allen text today, United Bible Society text today. Thirdly, it tears apart the English Revised Version of 1881, which came out in Dean Burgon's day. He didn't like it. He exposed it. The fourth thing it does, the Revision Revised, this book, you ought to get it. The fourth thing that it does, it stands true and tall for the King James Bible. Same as this broadcast does. Same as the Dean Burgon Society does. Same as the Bible for Today does. So what does Dean Burgon say about the Textus Receptus? Quote, page 269, Revision Revised. A 694-page book. We've reprinted it, hardback edition. Call us, we'll tell you how to get your copy. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Burgon says, quote, the one great fact which especially troubles him and his joint editor, he's speaking of Hort and Westcott here, because Dean Burgon lived at the same time as Westcott and Hort. He says it troubles him and his joint editor, as well it may. The one great fact is the traditional Greek text of the New Testament scriptures. Notice what he says next. Call this text Erasmian or Complutensian, the text of Stevens or of Beza or of the Elzevirs. Call it received or traditional text or whatever other name you please. Now, Dean Burgon expatiated on the name of this traditional text. He listed seven specific names and added an eighth, which is any other name you please. It's not what you call it. It's the one great fact that troubles Westcott and Hort worshipers of today. We've got a text. Call it any other name you please. The fact remains, says Dean Burgon, that a text has come down to us, which is attested by a general consensus of ancient copies, ancient fathers, ancient versions. This is the thing I want you to get at, my friend. We must stand for the received text that underlies our King James Bible. It's the text that has come down to us, attested by the general consensus of copies, church fathers, ancient versions. Let me go on. Dean Burgon says, this at all events is a point on which happily there exists entire conformity of opinion between Dr. Hort and ourselves. Our readers cannot have yet forgotten his virtual admission that beyond all question and all question, notice, the Textus Receptus is the dominant Greco-Syrian text of A.D. 350 to A.D. 400. End of quote. Now, Westcott and Hort, which our modern men worship and bow down to, they have admitted that the text that underlies our King James Bible, the traditional text, the received text, the Stevens text, the Ibiza text, the Elsevier text, the call it what you will, the Erasmian text, the Complutensian Polyglot text, whatever you call it, that text is the dominant, not the small minority, the dominant Greco-Syrian text of A.D. 350 to A.D. 400. And all these people that say that wasn't even in existence until the 600s or 700s or something of that nature, just plain don't know what they're talking about. They're trying to say that the Textus Receptus is late and the Westcott and Hort B and Aleph is early. My friends, the received text, according to Westcott and Hort's own admission, is the dominant, not the minority, the dominant Greco-Syrian text. That means the Greek text, the Syrian text. What are the dates? A.D. 350 to A.D. 400. They admit that. And you should understand that very clearly indeed. Well, fuzzy fact number 106. Edward Glennie wrote this. The majority text is based on about 4,000 manuscripts of this Byzantine text type. What's my answer? Well, it's absolutely false. He's lying about the basis of the majority text if he's talking about the one of Hodges and Farstad. That text was based on von Soden's notes. If you don't believe it, read Dr. Jack Mormon's excellent book, When the Majority Text Departs from the So-Called from the Textus Receptus, rather, of the King James Bible departs from the so-called majority text. In Dr. Jack Mormon's book, you'll find that von Soden examined 414 manuscripts out of 5,255, and he did not do it in a good way, a sloppy way. He shows this in When the King James Bible Departs from the So-Called Majority Text. This idea that all 4,000 manuscripts were examined by the editors of the so-called majority text is absolutely false. 414 is not a majority of 5,255, even if all of them said the same thing. Absolutely false. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible, for the Defined King James Bible, and ask us by a call, free and postpaid, Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions. You'll get all this information we've been talking about in the broadcast the last few weeks and months, and the months to come, the weeks to come. Free and postpaid. $8 plus four postage and handling. $12 value. Absolutely free for the asking. Call us or write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or call us on the order line, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll send it out to you. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you've got to have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long till next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a toll-free call, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. See you next broadcast, same time, same station. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 778. 778 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452. Or email bft@bibleforday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible. Now in its 8th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible? Or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published for the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. We don't change the King James. We just define the uncommon words. It's deluxe, genuine leather. Choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. Over 42,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Not another Bible in the world like it. Why not order your copy for yourself and your friends and your pastor and your churches? Simply call us 1-800-JOHN-10-9. The Defined King James Bible. Well, we're going back to our fuzzy facts. Oh, by the way, don't forget to order your Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions. You know, we got a lot of these fundamentalist schools and institutions that have fuzzy facts on Bible versions. They're not true. They're fuzzy. They're filled with falsehoods. And I'm talking about Bible fundamentalist institutions. I'm talking about the Big Four, the Quartet. I'm talking about the facts that are brought up at Bob Jones University, for example. The facts brought up at Detroit Baptist Seminary. The facts brought up at Central Baptist Seminary in Minneapolis. And Calvary Baptist Seminary, Lansdale, Pennsylvania. All these four fundamentalists, quartet of fundamentalists, have a misapprehension of bibliology. And they have fuzzy facts on the doctrine of the Bible. They may be fundamental in these other areas of theology, but their bibliology is not a fundamental institutional position as fundamentalists have developed it through the years. They do not believe God promised to preserve his Hebrew and Greek words. Number two, they don't believe that he did preserve the Hebrew and Greek words. And number three, they have the wrong Hebrew text in the Old Testament and the wrong Greek text in the New Testament. And they have, therefore, the wrong versions that they're saying are just as good as our King James Bible. They have a popery. Well, anyhow, get this book, Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists. It's a refutation of one Bible only out of Central Baptist Seminary, which is just one of the quartet. Fuzzy Facts for Fundamentalists, free and postpaid, $8 plus 12, or plus 4 rather, to ship it, for a $12 value, yours for nothing, free upon the asking. Beautiful cover, I have it in my hand. It's printed, it's published, and we have one for you, waiting for you, free and postpaid. It's a beautiful red and white cover. Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentals. Simply write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, and ask for Fuzzy Facts. Or call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. All right, back to Fuzzy Facts again. Here's some of the things that's in the book, but we're going to go over it on the broadcast as well. Fuzzy Fact number 107. Edward Glennie from Central Baptist Seminary wrote this, quote, "This also is a good time to point out that the translators of the King James Version used several sources, mainly Erasmus's, Stephen's, and Beza's text, but when these texts differed, the translators chose between various readings." Page 86. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact number 107? As Dr. Scrivener has pointed out, the text underlying our King James Bible is Beza's 5th edition, 1598. Dr. Scribner's annotated Greek text, which we have reprinted, lists only 190 places where the King James Bible departed from that Beza's 5th edition, 1598. This is a very small percentage of 140,521 words. 190 places, which are in the Greek New Testament, 140,521. It's wrong to imply that the King James Bible translators are choosing between these two other texts in many places, and that's the implication of Edward Glennie, where he says they use several sources. Well, they have alluded to some 6 or 7 different sources on occasion, but in only 190 places. and Dr. Scribner lists these places. And we have reprinted Dr. Scribner's annotated Greek text. You can find out how to get a copy, hardback or leather, genuine leather, by simply calling us, 1-800-John-10-9. Fuzzy fact number 108. Edward Glennie wrote this, quote, "The development in the text of Asclepius from Erasmus to Stephanus to Beza to the Elzevirs makes inadmissible the claim of inspiration or perfect preservation for the text of Asclepius or the King James Version that some King James only advocates make today." Well, what's my answer to this fuzzy fact 108? I don't say that the King James Bible is given by inspiration of God or God-breathed. I do not believe that. God did not breathe out the English or Spanish or French or any other translation. It's the only accurate translation of the God-breathed Hebrew and Greek words. It's a translation of what God breathed out. He didn't breathe out English or Spanish or other translation. He breathed out Hebrew and Greek. And the King James Bible is the only accurate translation of those breathed out Hebrew and Greek texts. And the copies we have preserved today, word by word. And when Paul and Peter wrote these words, they were inspired or God-breathed words. Not that Peter and Paul were inspired, but the words were God-breathed words. The exact copies of these words are still inspired words. And I believe the preserved Masoretic Hebrew words underlying our King James Bible and the Greek words underlying our King James Bible are inspired, God-breathed words. And so, though Edward Glennie doesn't believe that we have any God-breathed words that have been preserved for us, I do. In fact, fuzzy fact number 109 quotes your speaker. Here's Edward Glennie. He wrote this. In fact, he mentioned it, I understand, in one of the chapel services. And one of the students, this was several years ago when they first came out with their first book on the King James Bible issue, the Bible version issue. This is merely a reprint, this one Bible only. Four chapters are the same, four or five, I think. Edward Glennie wrote this, quote, "Yet, D.A. Waite," now that's your speaker here, "yet, D.A. Waite declares, in fact, quote, it is my own personal conviction and belief, after studying the subject since 1971, that's 31 years now, after studying the subject since 1971, that the words of the received Greek and Masoretic Hebrew texts that underlie the King James Bible are the very words which God has preserved down through the centuries, being the exact words of the originals themselves." End of quote. Emphasis Waite's. That's a quotation from his page 86. Let me read it again. You wonder what this preacher and this pastor and this talker and this person on the radio believes about the King James Bible and about the Hebrew and Greek words that underlie it. Professor Glennie doesn't believe this. Central Baptist Seminary doesn't believe this. The big four schools, fundamentalist schools, don't believe this. Bob Jones University doesn't believe it. Detroit Baptist Seminary doesn't believe it. Central Baptist Seminary doesn't believe it. Calvary Baptist Seminary doesn't believe it. These are fundamentalist schools. They don't believe what I believe on this. They don't. Notice he says, "Yet D.A. Waite declares, in fact," quote, he's quoting me, "it is my own personal conviction and belief." My friend, it still is my conviction and belief. "After studying the subject since 1971, that the words of the received Greek and Masoretic Hebrew texts that underlie the King James Bible," and notice, I'm specifying a specific Greek text, a specific Masoretic Hebrew text. They're the exact texts that underlie our King James Bible. "I believe those texts that underlie the King James Bible are the very words, Hebrew words, Greek words, which God has preserved down through the centuries, being the exact words of the originals themselves." End of quote. Page 86. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact number 109. Well, it's not too fuzzy. That's my belief and conviction. These words the Lord Jesus Christ promised to preserve. It was He, the Savior of the world, the Savior of sinners, who said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." I believe He's kept this promise as well as all others. His words. I believe He's the author of the Hebrew Old Testament words. He's the Logos. He's the Revelator in the Godhead of the Trinity. The Word is Old Testament Hebrew words. I believe He's the author of every single New Testament Greek word. I believe, and He said that as much. "I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself from Himself as to the source," in other words. "Whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He shall glorify Me." The Holy Spirit of God took the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and revealed those exact words to the writers of the New Testament. He did the same, I believe, by analogy in the Old Testament Hebrew. And when the Lord Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away," which most people in this world that are worldlings do not believe, they don't believe that this old world is going to pass away. The Lord Jesus says it will. The Lord Jesus is the creator of the heaven and the earth. He's the one who made it. "By Him were all things made. Without Him was not anything made that was made." In John chapter 1, verse 3. The Creator said, "Heaven and earth," my heaven, my earth, you might as well say, "shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." I believe He's kept this promise. He's preserved His words, Hebrew words, Old Testament, Greek words, New Testament. Well, let's move on to fuzzy fact number 110. Have you ordered your fuzzy facts from Fundamentalists and Bible Versions yet? Free and postpaid. Just give us a call. Gives you all this information I'm talking about. Gives my answers. Gives the fuzzy facts. Adds them all up from one all the way up to 250 or so. Get it. Yours for the asking. Simply ask for fuzzy facts from Fundamentalists. Fuzzy facts from Fundamentalists. Total 265. 265 fuzzy facts. Yours for the asking, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Well, what's fuzzy fact number 110? Edward Glennie wrote this, quote, "Elzevir's second edition first called the text of Receptus 22 years after the publication of the King James Version, page 87. Well, what's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, I believe this implies that the King James Bible was not taken from the received text or the Textus Receptus. Just because in 1633 the name began to be used. That doesn't mean that the traditional text or the received text was not in existence before that time. It has been in existence from apostolic times right down to the present. We've said this many times before on the broadcast. This is a serious error indeed. Just because Elzevir's edition, 1633, said this is a textum receptum received by all, omnibus, this is the text received by all, textus receptus. That's all he says in Latin. This has been a text received by all down through the centuries. What he's saying is this is the text that has been passed down traditionally from one generation to another, from apostolic times. It does not mean that the Textus Receptus began just when the first Latin phrase came into existence in 1633. This is poppycock. This is folly. This is falsehood. This is terrible, horrendous debating on the part of Edward Glennie. Shame on him for implying what he's implying here, that the King James Bible did not stand and use the Textus Receptus because it wasn't named in that phrase until 1633. The Textus Receptus, as I said many times on this broadcast, was from the apostolic times. If you don't believe it, check out my chapter 2 in Defending the King James Bible. 37 historical links, and find out that this is correct. there's continuity in our Textus Receptus, Greek text. There's no continuity in the false text of Westcott and Hort, Nestle Island, United Bible Society's text, the basic text of the NIV and the New American Standard Version that some fundamentalists are touting. No continuity, no historical value, no historical anything. Oh, it caught fire in the early days, and then it stopped. You want to ever ask yourself, scratch your head, say, why did they stop copying the false texts of B and Aleph? Why did it stop in the 4th century, 5th century, at the latest 6th century? Why did it stop? Why is it a big gap, a hiatus, that spans 1,500 years? Why did it stop, only having it to be picked up and exhumed from burial by Bishop Westcott and Professor Hort in 1881, trotting the thing out from obscurity? Why did it stop? Why did they not continue to copy it? Simple answer: because the churches knew that the B and Aleph manuscripts were the worst that ever saw the light of day. They knew them to be false. They knew them to be tainted with heresies, theological heresies of the Gnostics. That's why we have heresies to this very day in the B and Aleph manuscripts. 356, to be specific, as Dr. Jack Mormon has enumerated them. It's a 100-page book. If you want it 8.5 by 11, we'll tell you how to get it. 356 doctrinal passages where the Westcott and Hort false text of the NIV and the New American Standard are perverted as to theology. This is serious indeed. Well, fuzzy fact number 111. Edward Glennie wrote this, quote, about which edition or revision of the Textus Receptus is Waite talking? Talking about me, that's your speaker. Which could measure up to his claim? Waite's view espouses belief in a miracle that is nowhere claimed or prophesied in Scripture. End of quote, page 88 of One Bible Only. Well, what does Edward Glennie want to know? Does he want to know which edition or revision of the Textus Receptus I'm talking about? I've told him many times on the broadcast, in writing, in my books. We have a big book called Central Seminary Refuted in Bible Versions. That's the first book I wrote against Central Seminary. Here's the second one, Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions, Refutation of Central Seminary, second book. One wasn't enough, I guess. They felt they had to make a two. The version, the edition of the Textus Receptus, I've repeated and repeated and repeated. In fact, he quoted my statement. He quoted my statement on page 86, and on page 88 he says, which edition or revision is the Textus Receptus that I'm talking about? On page 86 he quoted me. What did I say? Let me repeat it. You know, the old Latin proverb, repetitio, mater studiorum est, which is being translated, repetition is the mother of learning. Let me repeat. In answer to Glennie's own question, let me give my question answered as I answered it on page 86, and I answered in my book the same thing he quoted to me. What is the edition or revision of the Textus Receptus? Quote, it is my own personal conviction, I say, and belief. He's quoting now from Defending the King James Bible. After studying the subject since 1971, are you listening? That the words of the received Greek and Masoretic Hebrew texts that underlie the King James Bible are the very words which God has preserved down through the centuries. Those are the words I'm talking about. He knows it. He quoted me on it on page 86 of his One Bible Only, and yet he trots them out on page 88 and says, which edition is Waite talking about? D.A. Waite has already told him what I'm talking about. The very Greek and Hebrew texts and words that underlie our King James Bible are the very words God has preserved down through the centuries, being the exact words of the originals themselves. Well, my answer to that is this. I just repeat myself, but I said, if he remembers his own quote from Defending the King James Bible, he has his answer. The addition is the words of the Greek received and Masoretic Hebrew text that underlie the King James Bible. That's his answer. That's what he quoted from before. That is Beza's 5th edition, 1598. The Lord Jesus said, again, my words shall not pass away. That's his promise. Where are his words? We believe, I believe, his words are found in the tremendous, overwhelming proportion of the text that God has preserved for us in 99% of the manuscripts, 5,210 plus, as opposed to the less than 45 of the Westcott and Hort variety. Well, fuzzy fact number 112. Number 112, Edward Glennie says this: which edition of the King James Version are you using? The 1611 edition of the King James Version is very different from the King James Bibles printed today. The original 1611 had more than 8,000 notes in the outer margins, giving more literal translations, alternative textual readings, and explanatory notes. End of quote, page 88. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact, number 112? Well, the 1611 edition of the King James Bible is not very different. It's not very different. He says it's very different from the King James Bibles printed today. It's not very different than the one we have today. This is absolutely false. I found only 400 and some differences to the ear that you could hear if you read it. I don't count spellings. I don't count punctuation marks. I count things that you can hear. S-I-N-N-E, they spelled for sin. We spell it S-I-N. When you read it, it still sounds like sin. I mean, I went from Genesis to Revelation. You want a copy of this? It's available. Number 1294, I believe it is. 1264, I don't remember which. 1264, 1294, it's available. I'll give you chapter and verse where to the ear, differences that I hear with my ear. But in the 400 and so, I included, maybe it's 415, 425, whatever, I included the words such as toward and towards. You say toward and towards, it's all the same except that S and the N. That's right. But I could hear it, and I counted it. You and ye. It refers to the same general person, but I could hear it, so I counted it. So if you take away all these things that are repetitious, among and amongst, the same word, but I could hear the difference, among and amongst. Spelled differently, sounds differently, I counted it. You take all these words that are similar, and you only have about 135, I believe it is, words that have either been added or whatever, subtracted or changed. 135 out of almost 800,000 words in our King James Bible? The spelling is different, yes. Of those 400 and some differences of the ear, only about 136 had actual word changes that were different. Now, that's not very different. 136, considering there are almost 800,000 words in our King James Bible. Well, let's go to fuzzy fact number 113. Edward Glennie wrote this: Erasmus Textus Receptus, especially 1527 edition. End of quote, page 89. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact number 113? Well, it seems to imply that Erasmus was the originator of the Textus Receptus. He says in Erasmus, Textus Receptus, especially 1527. In 1516, Erasmus merely put into print words, Greek words, that go back to the original Greek New Testament completed in about AD 900, or should have been AD 90 AD, maybe 100 AD. That's all he did, was put into print. It implies that Erasmus began or founded or originated the Textus Receptus. Absolutely false. What was fuzzy fact number 114? Edward Glennie wrote this: quote, Blaney's edition, that edition of the King James, is estimated to differ from the original 1611 version in at least 75,000 details to differ the original 1611 from at least 75,000 details. That's page 90 of One Bible Only. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? 75,000 details. If you're talking about spelling sin, S-I-N, and the 1611 is S-I-N-N-E, or if you mean punctuation, perhaps it might be 75,000 or 175,000. But this is deceptive. These are minor details. Yet he implies major details. This sort of makes my blood boil. Should make your blood boil too. As I said before, my friend, my research from Genesis to Revelation found only 421 differences in sounds. It's available. Write us or call us. We'll tell you how to get your copy. Every one of those 421 differences in sounds I document. It's available. Every single one. But discounting similar words, like among and amongst, toward and towards, and so on, you have only 136 places where words are added or changed slightly. 136 places. To the ear, this is tiny among almost 800,000 words in the King James Bible. Very tiny. And to say and to throw around these figures, why the original 1611 version differs from a present version in at least 75,000 details. Makes you sound like you can't see it, can't understand it. There are all kinds of changes, and it is not so. 421 differences in sounds, including among and amongst, toward and towards, you and ye. But if you discount those that are similar like that, you have 136 places where the words are either added or changed very, very slightly. Well, I'm going to stop here. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defying King James Bible. Or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Don't forget to order your fuzzy facts from Fundamentalists. By your speaker on Bible versions. It's a refutation of One Bible Only. All these different fuzzy facts are listed and my answers are given. You need to have this. Put it in the hands of every one of your friends. Free and postpaid. $8 book, 104 pages, plus $4 postage and handling. $12 value, yours for the asking. Free and postpaid. Simply write us or call us, Fuzzy Facts. From Fundamentalists, not Modernists, from Fundamentalists on Bible versions. We'll send it to you free and postpaid. We're going to continue this fuzzy fact situation, same broadcast next time, next week. Stay tuned. Glad to have you. See you next week, same time, same station. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, read each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 779. 779 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@biblefortoday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible, now in its eighth printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. I want to ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your defined King James Bible, published by the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. Over 42,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not get your copy for yourself and your friends? Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9, the defined King James Bible. And then have you ordered your book, free and postpaid, Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions, A Refutation of One Bible Only? We have a lot of fundamentalists that have had fuzzy facts concerning Bible versions. And I put this into a book. We've been talking about it on the broadcast for many weeks and months, and a few more weeks and months in the future we'll be speaking of it. We want you to get this book. It's free and postpaid. It's 104 pages. It takes up some of these fuzzy facts that they've talked about in this one Bible-only book from Central Seminary, but it's some facts that are shared by other fundamentalist institutions, not simply Central Seminary, but Bob Jones University, Detroit Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary, as well as Central Baptist Seminary. And these are the facts, and we answer the fuzzy facts there in the book. $8 plus $4 shipping and handling, $12 value, yours free and postpaid for the asking. We want you to get it. Have you got your copy of Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists? Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9 or write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. All right, we're up to Fuzzy Fact Problem, Fuzzy Number 115. Fuzzy Fact Number 115, Edward Glennie, professor there at Central Seminary, wrote this. Quote, most changes that have taken place in the various editions of the King James Version involve small matters such as spelling and punctuation and are not a problem to people who realize that the KJV is not a perfectly preserved representation of the autographs, as many King James only advocates claim. End of quote, page 80. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Number 115. Well, who says that it is a perfectly preserved representation of the autographs? Does he speak of Dr. Ruckman? He should say so. Instead of tiring all of us who stand for the King James Bible as believing this, does he speak of Ruckman? The autographs were not written in English. This is ridiculous on his part, even to imply that somebody is saying it is a perfect representation of the autographs. Only the autographs can be perfectly replicated, and the Hebrew text of the Old Testament and the Greek text of the New Testament can be replicated and be a perfectly preserved representation. You can't produce in English something that was originally given in Hebrew or Greek. It's not possible. The perfectly preserved representation, if he said the translation, the only accurate translation of the autographs, that's one thing. But not perfect preserved representation of the autographs, that comes from a preservation of the Hebrew text and the Greek text that underlie our King James Bible. So this is very very misleading. It's not proper to even imply this. You can't preserve in English Hebrew words and Greek words. You can translate, and you can translate accurately so that there's an accurate translation of every one of these words, Hebrew and Greek words, that has been preserved, those words that were the very words of the autographs and the original Hebrew and Greek words, and those accurate translations into the English or Spanish or French can be made because we have preserved for us, as the Lord Jesus Christ promised, the Hebrew and Greek words of the original autographs as we have them. reproduced, and then we can translate those autographs, those words, those perfectly preserved apographs, copies, we can translate them into the text of the, whether it's Spanish, whether it's French, whatever language it is, we can translate those accurately, and that's what we need to do. So this is a strange combination. When was Fuzzy Fact number 116? Edward Glennie, professor there at Edward, at least formerly at Central Seminary, said this, quote, interestingly, the American Bible Society found 24,000 variants in the text and punctuation of the 19th century edition of the King James Version. That's page 90 of One Bible Only. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact number 116? 24,000 variants in the text and punctuation. Now, if he, these are spelling and punctuation changes. These are minor, since they do not change the meaning or the sound of the words. To imply that these are in the text is false. Which text? They mean variants in the text. Do they mean variants in the Hebrew text that underlies the King James Bible? That's certainly what's implied here. This is totally false. Do they mean 24,000 variants in the text of the Greek language that underlies the King James New Testament? That's totally false. What do they mean? Text, does that mean the English text? Does that mean English words? Variants? That word variant is usually used to imply a change in the Hebrew or Greek word. That's what variant means. If they said there's 24,000 different spellings or 24,000 different punctuation points, this would be one thing. But to say that there are 24,000 variants in the text, why, he was just saying, Mr. Glennie, Edward Glennie was saying, in fuzzy fact number 114, that there's the original 1611 differs from our present King James Bible, Blaney's edition, in at least 75,000 details. Now he comes up with 24,000 variants in the text. Now, what does he mean? Who is correct? Are there 75,000 differences, or are there 24,000 differences? A third of 25,000. Or 75,000 would be 24,000, 25,000, about a third. But you see, when he changes it, not at least 75,000 details, which of course is spelling and punctuation, as I said before, under fuzzy fact number 114, the Genesis to Revelation analysis that I made of our original King James Version, as was reproduced by Nelson Publishers. I read it, I analyzed it from Genesis to Revelation, and I found only 421 differences in sounds. I discounted. Now, if you discount words, similar words like among and amongst, toward and towards, you have only 136 places where the words were either added or changed slightly. If you discount these, I counted 421 to the ear. Now, that's not spelling, S-I-N-N-E, for sin instead of S-I-N, but it sounds the same. Sin is sin. And if you discount that, 421 differences in sound. Now, where does he get 75,000 details in the difference? This is false. This is misleading. This is grossly in error. And then when the American Bible Society, he quotes, say that they found 24,000 variants in the text and punctuation. Text and punctuation. Well, what does he mean by text? Does he mean Hebrew text? This is absolutely false. The Hebrew text of the 1611 is the Hebrew text of Blaney's 1700 and whatever that is, the present King James Version that we use today. The Hebrew text is the same. The Greek text is the same. They have not changed the text Hebrew and Greek text, and that's usually what a variant means in the text. Now, if they mean the English text, 24,000 variants, that is also false, unless you're talking about spelling. If they had said 24,000 variants in spelling, I could believe that. Spelling words are different in 1611 than they are presently in our King James Bible, but not in sound. No matter what the word is spelled like, the sound is the same. The word is the same. And it's not a variant in the word as far as the word as it sounds is concerned. Well, my answer is this. These are spelling and punctuation changes. These are minor. Since they do not change the meaning or the sound of the words, to imply that these are in the text is false. As mentioned before, I found 136 places where they've changed the words, added or subtracted, not 24,000 at all. Well, let me continue. Fuzzy fact number 117. Edward Glennie wrote this, quote, "One uncorrected misprint in the King James Version is the phrase, quote, strain at a gnat, end of quote, in Matthew 23:24, which should read, strain out a gnat, end of quote. That's from page 90 of One Bible Only. Well, what's my answer to this fuzzy fact? Well, my contention is this is absolutely false. To strain at a gnat means you strain at the sight of a gnat. Meaning number nine. It's meaning number nine of at means because of. If you look at a dictionary, a good dictionary, you'll see that one of the meanings is because of. In response to, for instance, terrified at the sight, to smile at a remark. In other words, because of, or in response to. Well, that's what this means, to strain at, or because of a gnat. So you strain out your food. You see a gnat there, you strain at it, because of it, in response to it. The illustration, terrified at the sight. Not terrified out the sight, and to smile at a remark, not to smile out a remark. Now that's what it means, and it's perfectly good English. You don't have to say strain out a gnat at all. You could say he jumped at the sound of his voice. It wouldn't be right to say he jumped out the sound of his voice. That just means when the sound of his voice is heard, you jump. Jumped at the sound. Jumped because of the sound. Jumped in response to the sound. There's no problem with this. This is not an error in the King James translation at all. The error is with Edward Glennie and others who have pointed this thing out. It's silly. It's stupid. It's ridiculous. And it's false. Well, what's fuzzy fact number 118? Edward Glennie wrote this. How can the King James Version be inspired and we have errors in it that should be changed? End of quote. What's my response to this? Well, I do not say that the King James Bible is given by inspiration of God. Our Dean Burgon Society does not say that. We at the Bible for Today do not say that. Those five words in the King James Bible, given by inspiration of God, come from just one Greek term. 2 Timothy 3:16. The term is theopneustos, or theonostos, if you wish to pronounce it that way. It means God breathed. It comes from the word theos, which is God, and pneustos comes from pneo, which means to breathe. He's talking about the Hebrew and Greek words that have been breathed out by God. Now, God did not breathe out the King James Bible. He didn't breathe out Spanish or French or any other translation. That's the view of Dr. Peter Ruckman. And I believe that it is misleading to refer to the King James Bible as being inspired or God breathed. inspired by God. That's what the word is, and the only word. You can't say inspired by itself. If you're using the only place in our Bible which talks about the inspiration of the Hebrew and Greek original language texts, if you're using 2 Timothy 3:16, the only place in the entire New Testament that uses the term inspiration, you must use it as it is in the Bible. If you're biblical, you can be not biblical and use anything you want. You can make any word mean anything you want to mean. But if you're using the Bible, if you believe that the preaching the Bible and teaching the Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, given by inspiration of God. And you have to say, inspired of God, or God breathed, or breathed out by God. God has got to be in there. And if you believe, my friend, that God has given the English words, not man, not a translation, but breathed out by God, then you can say you believe it's inspired of God. Breathed out by God. God breathed. But, my friend, this is ridiculous. This is not at all the fact. This is not at all the case. God did not breathe out any other language but Hebrew, a little Aramaic, and Greek. That's what he breathed out. And we are mistaken when we say that we have a King James Bible or a Spanish Bible or French Bible or any translation as given, breathed out by God. God did not breathe out those words. Inspiration has to do with the origin of our Bibles. And God gave us his Hebrew words in the Old Testament, a little Aramaic words, and he gave us the Greek words in the New Testament by means of breathing out those words. That's what inspired of God means, given by inspiration of God. And we must be correct in this. We must be accurate in this. And we cannot be given over to the terminology of Dr. Peter Ruckman, where he believes that the King James Bible, for example, has been given by inspiration of God. He believes it's a revelation that God breathed out those words. No, my friend, man translated those words. Now, man translated those words accurately into English. And we have accurate translation of the words of God in English. Because of the accuracy, we can say we have the Word of God in English. But we cannot, we must not, we must not confuse the issue to say that we have the King James Bible or any translation as being inspired of God or inspired by God or breathed out by God. We cannot say this. You see, you can't use the word inspired in different senses. You can't say Hebrew inspired of God, Greek inspired by God, English inspired by God, Spanish inspired by God, French inspired by God, German inspired by God. Using inspired by God in different senses, you cannot equate the inspiration and God's breathing out the Hebrew and Greek words of our Bible with the translation from those inspired Hebrew and Greek words into other languages of the world. And so we've got to be technical. We're in a technical age, and here you have a critical text man, Edward Glennie, comes along and accuses those of us who stand for a King James Bible of being inspired of God or breathed out by God. And we do not believe that. My friends, listen. If you hold on, many preachers and many pastors and many people think that we have a King James Bible that's inspired by God, breathed out by God. And they have to use this term, apparently, or they're not happy. But when you say this, you are saying that God also breathed out, or gave by inspiration, that God also breathed out the entire apocryphal books between the Old Testament and the New Testament. That was included in the King James Bible. And to say that this is inspired by God, or given by inspiration of God, the entire King James Version, you're talking about the Apocrypha as well. And you don't mean that. You certainly don't mean that the Apocrypha is given by inspiration of God and God breathed. God did not breathe out the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha are these 14 books, 12 books, whatever it is, that were were just simply man-made books, never were in the canon of Scripture. Well, enough of that. You may differ with me on this, but our Dean Burgon Society and our Bible for Today remain adamant. We are not going to have on our Dean Burgon Society platform, and I speak as the president of our Dean Burgon Society, those who insist and who say that the King James Bible is given by inspiration of God. We're not going to have it. And we're not going to have men who are saying even that the King James Bible is inspired by God or inspired of God. We're not going to have it. This is false. We do not believe that this is scriptural. 2 Timothy 3:16 does not teach this. And this is the place in 2 Timothy 3:16 that explains the origin of our Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. It is a strictly theological statement. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable and so on. That's the Scripture that was given in the Hebrew and the Greek text, and it's profitable. And we have in our English Bible an accurate, the only accurate translation of those providentially preserved Hebrew and Greek words, and we have it, and we have been using it, and God has blessed it. It's powerful. It's used of the Lord. It can convert the sinners, and we do not have to say it has been given, the English, by inspiration of God, or given by God by the means of breathing out those words in English. No, my friends. We cannot. We must not. We must make a distinction so that we're not accused by the people that deny the preservation of those Hebrew and Greek words. We're not accused of believing that the King James Bible has been inspired or breathed out by God. Now, just because we say it's the only accurate translation of the proper Hebrew and Greek text does not mean we have to use the word inspired or breathed out by God. It's translated by man. And it was done in an excellent fashion, and we stand for it, we defend it, and as I said before on this broadcast, I take no second place to anyone in my stand for the King James Bible, defending it as the only accurate translation from the inspired words of Hebrew and Greek that there is in the world. I take no second place to any man. Well, let's continue. Fuzzy fact number 119. Fuzzy fact number 119. Edward Gunney wrote, quote, "The goal," that is in this book, One Bible Only, "the goal is not to attack the King James Version," end of quote, page 91. What's my answer to that fuzzy fact number 119? Well, if that is not his goal, he certainly fooled me. That's all that he's been doing. He's been attacking the Hebrew and Greek texts that underlie the King James Bible. This book, the One Bible Only book throughout, attacks the King James Bible. These schools, for instance, Bob Jones University, and Detroit Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary, Central Baptist Seminary, these four fundamentalist schools, in the vanguard of this attack against the Hebrew and Greek texts that underlie our King James Bible, those schools are constantly attacking the King James Bible because of their use of a different Greek New Testament text. A different text. They can say all they want, as Bob Jones, president, has done, for instance. They can say, oh, we're not attacking the King James Bible. They are attacking it. They're saying, let's go ahead, and if we want to, let's use the New American Standard Version. Some of the graduates, Bob Jones, for example, and Detroit and some of the other places, are saying, well, let's use even the New International Version. Now, most of the men at Bob Jones that are teaching, I don't believe would go along with the NIV, but they may. Maybe they go along with today's New International Version. But the point of it is, the attack against the King James Bible made by Edward Glennie throughout this book and the other authors and writers in the One Bible Only book, they're attacking the King James Bible because they're using a different Greek New Testament text that changes the wording of the text that underlies the King James Bible, as Dr. Jack Mormon has said, in 8,000 places. 8,000 places. 8,000 different words. Now, some are very minor, that's true. I've counted 5,604 places where they have changed, counting from Dr. Scribner's annotated Greek New Testament. I've counted 5,604 places where the Greek text that underlies the King James Bible is different from the critical text of the NASV and the NIV and the other versions that are there. And so the number of words, I guessed at 9,970 Greek words that have been added, subtracted, or changed. Dr. Jack Mormon has actually counted and has a log in the file on a database of over 8,000 specific words that have been different in the text of the text Receptus versus the other. And so they are attacking the King James Bible through its New Testament text. Well, what's specific fact number 120? Edward Glennie wrote, quote, "Proponents of the TR, text Receptus, cannot claim that their text is the same as the majority text, or that it is always supported by the majority of manuscripts. The Textus Receptus is essentially based on a few manuscripts from the majority or Byzantine text type and differs in about 1,800 places from the majority text, which most accurately represents that text type." End of quote. Page 91. What's my answer to that? No, we don't say that they're the same. Text Receptus and the majority text of Hodges and Farstad. We disagree with the majority text in all the 1,800 places where it differs with the text Receptus. We're not asleep at the switch on this. We don't believe that these are the same by any means. Not the same by any means. And so this is a strange situation, as if we don't understand the differences in the majority text. The Textus Receptus is based on the manuscripts that are there, and the vast majority, over 99% of them, go along with our Textus Receptus. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he should be saved, and should go in and out and find pasture." Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible. And also be sure to call us or write us and ask for your copy of Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions. It's a refutation of one Bible only. All the things we've been talking about are here. You can read them again and see what we say on the Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists. Yours for the asking. It's a $12 value, $8 plus $4 shipping. We'll send it to you free and postpaid, 104 pages of Fuzzy Facts and my answers. Call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long till next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Want to give us a call right now, toll free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. See you next week. Bye-bye. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, and sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 780. 780 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452. We'd like to hear from you. If you'd like to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible, now in its 8th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition, why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published by the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather. It's a choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. Over 42,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Have you ordered your copy for yourself and your friends? Simply write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us 1-800-JOHN-10-9, and we'll tell you how to get these books. Then have you ordered free and postpaid this new book that we've gotten out? I've got it in my hands, beautiful red and white cover, Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions. It's a refutation of one Bible only. 104 pages. It's an $8 book plus $4 shipping, $12. But this is absolutely free. Yours for the asking. Write us or call us. We'll give this to you, send it to you. Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists on Bible Versions. It takes up the things we've been talking about these past weeks and months, and perhaps the weeks and months to come in advance. We want you to have it. We want you to get it. We want you to defend the truth and expose the error and falsehood and fuzzy facts from these fundamentalist institutions. And the four main fundamentalist institutions that have these fuzzy facts, and all of them seem to agree with each other, the four major ones are Bob Jones University, Central Baptist Seminary, Detroit Baptist Seminary, and Calvary Baptist Seminary in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. Well, let's go to fuzzy fact number 121. Edward Glennie, formerly of Central Baptist Seminary in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area, he says this, quote, "Neither the Textus Receptus nor the King James Version is a fixed phenomenon. Both were revised and edited numerous times, and the present editions differ markedly from the original editions." Page 91. Well, what's my answer to this fuzzy fact number 121? Absolutely false. They're not revised numerous times and the editions differ markedly from the original editions? Markedly? If you're talking about the Textus Receptus, there's no marked division and difference between the Erasmus text, the Complutensian text, the Elsevier text, the Stevens text, the Complutensian Polyglot text, the Beza's text. There's no marked difference. What does it mean by markedly? And then let's take the King James Bible. That's a falsehood also. Absolutely false. If you're talking about spellings and punctuation, all right, markedly in spelling, but not in words, not in sounds. 400 and some sounds I could hear were different from the original to the present. Different sounds, but not words. And only 136 if you're going to take away the similar sounds of toward and towards. I can hear the S, but it's the same word. And it doesn't change the meaning, but differ markedly. If he was specific, that would be one thing. The edition of Beza's 5th edition, for instance, 1598, is still around. The text that underlies our King James Bible of Dr. Scrivener, which is basically Beza's 5th edition of 1598, is still around. There is a fixed phenomenon. We have reprinted it in our Dean Burgon Society. It's called the Scrivener's Annotated Greek New Testament. The King James Bible of today is not markedly different from the 1611, as we said before, if you're talking about words and sounds of words. If you're talking about spellings and punctuation, that's immaterial to the translated word of God, the words in English that we have. So this is another fuzzy fact and confusing fact indeed. Well, what's fuzzy fact number 122? Edward Glennie says, another purpose of this chapter was to help those who are seeking the truth on this issue to see the false claims of anyone who says that the KJV or the Textus Receptus is inspired, or who would argue that one of these texts is always superior to all others, and therefore must always be the closest to the original. End of quote. Page 91. Well, he's got so many things in here. First of all, I do not say the King James Version is inspired or inspired of God. I do not say that. I believe that the Textus Receptus, King James Bible's text of the New Testament, is inspired words. Those are inspired words given by inspiration of God. God gave those words and preserved those words. They're the same words as the original Greek text and Hebrew text that were originally given by inspiration of God in the original places. And so I use the term for that. See, he's trying to lock this whole thing together and confuse people. He says he's trying to seek the people who seek the truth to help them. Well, my friend, he's not helping. He's hindering. And I give that the King James or the text receptus is inspired. Now, the second part of this, well, I don't use it. I said before many times on the broadcast, last week we said it, and we clarified it, I hope, that the word in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Those five words, given by inspiration of God, are translations of one Greek word. It's a compound word. Theopneustos, or theanostos, if you want to say it that way, comes from two Greek words, a compound, theos, which is God, pneustos, which is breathe, pneo, to breathe out. And God breathed out, and God inspired, as we say, breathed out his Hebrew words. He breathed out his Greek words. He did not breathe out or inspire the English or Spanish or French. Man translated those words from the inspired Hebrew and Greek words that we have preserved for us that underlie our King James Bible. I think I've clarified that sufficiently. Now, as far as the Textus Receptus being inspired or breathed out by God, yes, those are the words that God breathed out. And the Hebrew words that underlie King James Bible are the words that God breathed out. Then the second part of his contention, he wants to clarify, he wants to help those that are seeking the truth on this issue. My friend, get fuzzy facts from fundamentalists and Bible versions. You know, on the broadcast you can hear these things, but you don't remember what exactly are we saying, what are we answering. In that book, free and postpaid, you'll get the fuzzy facts and you'll get my answers, so that you'll have them to be able to be helped and clarified on this issue. The second part of this is, argues that one of these texts, King James Bible or Textus Receptus, is always superior to others, to all others, and therefore must be always the closest to the original. My friend, that's exactly what I believe. I believe that the King James Bible is superior to all other English versions. It's the King James Bible. The rest of them are versions and perversions. I believe also that it is the closest to the original Hebrew and Greek. The closest, the most accurate translation, the only accurate translation of the Hebrew and Greek that underlies it is our King James Bible. As far as the Textus Receptus being superior to all others, it's superior to the majority text of Hodges and Farstad, that changes the Textus Receptus in 1,800 places. It's superior certainly to the critical text of Westcott and Hort. It's superior to the Nestle-Aland text. It's superior to the United Bible Society Greek text. It's superior to the Robinson and Pierpont majority text, in addition to the Hodges and Farstad. Yes, it is superior. My answer is the Hebrew Greek words that underlie our King James Bible are inspired words, God-breathed words. Since they are accurate reproductions of the inspired words, they're the same inspired words that Peter, James, and Paul had written down in the copies. I do not believe that the King James Bible was given by inspiration of God. It's not God-breathed. It's man-translated. It's an English translation. We at the Bible for Today Ministry and our Dean Burgon Society Ministry believe very strongly that the only Greek text that should be used to translate any Bible into any language of the world must be the Hebrew and Greek texts that underlie our King James Bible. The only accurate translation in the English language of the preserved Hebrew and Greek words is the King James Bible. If you want to know what the Hebrew and Greek words are in English, translated accurately in English, you've got it in the King James Bible. That's what we say. Superior to all others, and superior Hebrew and Greek texts to all others as well. Well, what's fuzzy fact number 123? Edward Glennie, former teacher there at Central Baptist Seminary, wrote this on page 92 of One Bible Only. Quote, the original 1611 edition, more than 8,000 notes in the outer margins giving more literal translations, alternative textual readings, and explanatory notes. The translators put variant Greek readings in the margins of the New Testament. End of quote. Page 92. What's my answer to this fuzzy fact? It's a very clever but a very false and misleading statement. He's implying that many of those 8,000 marginal notes concern some variant Hebrew and Greek readings in the original 1611. He says he put variant Greek readings in the margins of the New Testament. He says that's what the King James translators did in 1611. He says they put them there in the margins of the New Testament. Now, the implication is, although he says some of the outer margins give more literal translations, alternative, but he says also explanatory notes, but also alternative textual readings. And he says they put those variant readings. How many of those 8,000 marginal notes do you think are actual changes in textual readings that they put in the margins? How many do you think? 8,000? 7,500? 7,000? 6,500? 6,000? How many do you think they put in the margins? It's absolutely misleading once again. Absolutely misleading. Under Dr. Scribner's analysis, Dr. Frederick Scribner, who was there on the English Revised Version Committee of 1881 and fought with Westcott and Hort at every turn practically as they tried to change the Greek and Hebrew text, especially the Greek text, Dr. Scribner analyzed the notes of the King James Bible. Talks about the history of the English King James, and he found that only 104 of the 8,000 marginal references had to do with a textual variant or textual Hebrew or Greek difference in that. What is 104 out of 8,000? The implication is they put the variant Greek readings in the margins. That is implication false. Its implication false. It implies the 8,000 are there. Nothing wrong with the King James Version translators putting a variant translation there. It's not a variant textual reading, as he implies, except for 104 out of 8,000. It's a variant translation. It's a Hebrew word that is more literal, perhaps. They don't deny what they have used for the translation, and they're not taking it back. They're not saying, because they have in the margin the more literal word, that the translation that they have in the text is wrong. They're just trying to be accurate and give a literal sense as well as the sense in a translational way. And so the implication that all 8,000 are somehow alternative textual readings is totally, completely false. And yet that's what the reader would get implication-wise from reading what Edward Glennie has said. Well, fuzzy fact number 124. Edward Glennie wrote this, quote, 1769 Blaney edition. Basis of most modern day Bibles differs from the 1611 edition in at least 75,000 details. End of quote. Well, we've answered this before, but let's go at it again. He keeps repeating this same implication that is a false implication, and we've got to answer it again because he says it again. Now, when he says that differs from the 1611 edition at least 75,000 details, this implies there are 75,000 serious differences, details, between the 1611 and the 1769 Blaney edition of the King James Bible we use today. Let me repeat. I went from the Nelson original King James Version in our regular Roman script, and I assume that they did a good job of putting that into our regular Roman script. I took that 1611 edition, and I went from Genesis to Revelation, and I compared it to the present King James Bible. What did I find as I listened to the ear? What differences? How many? 421. 421 differences that you could hear in the ear. for instance, toward and towards. I could hear it, so I put it down. Among and amongst. It's the same word, but I could hear it, I put it down. Those are among the 421 differences to the ear. Now, that's not differences to the eye. Spellings. I've said before, in the King James 1611, sin was spelled S-I-N-N-E. In our present King James Bible, it's spelled S-I-N. But what does S-I-N-N-E sound like? The same as S-I-N. Sin sounds like sin. And the changes to the ear are the things that are significant. And if you take away all these that are similar, like among and amongst, and so on, toward and towards, you and ye, and so on, some of these similarities, you strip those away, you have only 135 or 136 actually added a few things. Small ands or buts or some little thing, difference in the 1611 edition of the King James Bible and the 1769 Blaney edition that we use today. 135 or 136 places where small things have been added or changed. But as to the ears, there's nothing except those 135 that I have counted. This is available. Bible for today, number 1294, I believe is the number of it. You can order it online. www.bibleforToday.org and simply put in there 1294 and you can order that. Or order it from 1-800-JOHN-10-9, our order line. But my friends, what is 135 to 800, almost 800,000 English words in our King James Bible? Insignificant. In fact, what is even 421 differences to the ear to 800,000, almost 800,000 English words? It's absolutely misleading when Edward Glennie is saying there are 75,000 details of differences. They're implying significant details, and we have found that is absolutely untrue. Well, enough of that. Let's go to fuzzy fact number 125. Edward Glennie wrote this, quote, Beza's 1598 edition was the main source used by the translators. Combs, Erasmus, and the Textus Receptus, page 53. Well, I'm glad Combs has got it right. That's page 100 in footnote number 41. Well, I'm glad he's finally, this is a true statement. And I'm glad that Combs of Detroit Baptist Seminary has finally corrected this from his original talk, and we have this in Fundamentalist Distortions on Bible Versions, where he was misleading on this thing. He didn't say that in the debate, on the television debate, and I'm glad that Combs has got the thing right presently, and this is a true statement. It was not the Erasmus edition of 1516, which many of these fundamentalist schools have said that it was. The Beza's 1598 edition is the main source of the translators of the King James Bible. And it was mentioned, Beza's 5th edition, 1598, 82 years after Erasmus' edition of 1516, they have finally got this corrected. They've been saying that the King James translated, in fact, Edward Glennie has been saying it, oh, they used Erasmus. They used Erasmus 1516. No, the basic text was Beza 82 years later than Erasmus. Time to correct the mistakes and changes and so on, and spellings and typographical errors and printers' mistakes. And that's what they did. Well, let's say fuzzy fact number 126. Edward Glennie wrote this, commenting on my book, The Defending the King James Bible. Here's what he comments on. Quote, this is one of the many unbelievable claims in Waite's book, a volume that Wallace, that's Dan Wallace, The Majority Text, Theory, History, Methods, and Critique, a volume that Wallace describes as 339 pages of anecdotes, guilt by association, arguments, and theological invective. End of quote. Page 100, footnote 44. Well, I guess Dr. Dan Wallace of Dallas Seminary doesn't like my book, Defending the King James Bible. I think I probably sent a copy of it to the Dallas Seminary Library. I'm a graduate of Dallas Seminary. He doesn't like it. But to say it's 339 pages of anecdotes, stories, you won't find many stories in that book. Why don't you get a copy? Defending the King James Bible. Give us a call. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And it's not filled with guilt by association arguments. The arguments are strong and not guilt by association. This is a smear term. As far as theological invective, no, I list 158 theological differences between the Textus Receptus New Testament and the Westcott and Hort Greek text, and the differences found in the New American Standard Version and the New International Version. Well, what's my answer? You examine Defending the King James Bible to see how false this claim is. I show documentation for the superiority of the King James Bible in four areas. I first of all show that the promise of God was to preserve His words, verbal preservation of the Hebrew and Greek words. I show that clearly. That's the first chapter. The second chapter, I defend as superior the King James Bible because of its superior texts, Hebrew and Greek texts. Documentation showing and proving its superior texts of Hebrew and Greek. In chapter 3, I show the superiority of the translators of the King James Bible. Superior, far superior than the translators and paraphrasers, I might add, of today. And then in the chapter 4, I talk about the superior technique of translation of the King James Bible. Superior technique, using verbal equivalents, using formal and form equivalents of the King James Bible, and show that it's not dynamic equivalence, which adds to the words of God, subtracts from the words of God, and changes the words of God. I show very clearly that the technique of the King James Bible is superior technique. And in chapter 5, I show the King James Bible is superior as to its theology. Superior as to its theology. I show, as I say, 158 different passages. Dr. Jack Mormon has listed 356 doctrinal passages where you have the different theological doctrines involved. 356. I list 158 of the more common ones and the more important ones in chapter 5. And that's what I believe is documented. It's not simply anecdotes. It's not guilt by association arguments. It's not theological invective. These are interesting phrases. This is a strange statement from one Dallas Seminary graduate, Dan Wallace, about another Dallas Seminary graduate, your speaker. Strange indeed how things have changed. And another thing about it, here you have a so-called fundamentalist, Edward Glennie, from a fundamentalist school, and he may be a fundamentalist, using a new evangelical Dan Wallace, who's not a fundamentalist, who's not a separatist, who's a new evangelical, and he's quoting him concerning another fundamentalist's book. And I am a Baptist. I am a fundamentalist Baptist. I'm a separatist Baptist. And I don't quote new evangelicals to smash some other fellow fundamentalist. But Edward Glennie did. Strange indeed, is it not? Do you have to go to your new evangelical buddies in order to answer a fellow fundamentalist's arguments? Well, apparently Edward Glennie felt that he had to, and he did. On page 100, footnote number 44, in one Bible only. Have you ordered your fuzzy facts from fundamentalists on Bible versions? I bring these things up and I answer them so that you can have them and you can study them and you can give them to someone else. Free and postpaid, 104 pages. By the way, this book has a complete index of subjects and topics that are there. Topics, index of words and phrases. And it's there, you can have it. And you can see it. A complete index. And so you can have it. It has an order blank. Talks about the author. It has three order blank pages. Talks about defined King James Bible. Advertises it. And you can have it. $8 plus $12 shipping and handling. $12 value. 104 pages. For as a gift. Free. No postage. No handling. We'll send it to you. Write us or call us. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Well, let's go on to fuzzy fact number 127. Edward Glennie wrote this, quote, "We believe that the Bible, 66 books in the Old and New Testament, is without error in its original writings and the sole authority for faith and practice." End of quote, page 103. What's my answer? Well, this is from the Central Baptist Theological Seminary of Minneapolis, Minnesota. How do they know it was without error in its original writings if its words have not been preserved? It's a faith position, is it not? And yet they trounce me and trounce us who hold a faith position on the promise of Christ to preserve his Hebrew and Greek words. And they're saying this fundamentalist line, which I believe it is without error, the Old and New Testament, in its original writings. But I also believe God has preserved those original writings to the present time by faith as well as by fact. And he has a faith position. And he's against our faith position, which is a strange thing indeed. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible. Or call us, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible, and ask for a free and postpaid copy of Fuzzy Facts from Fundamentalists. We'd be glad to send it to you, free and postpaid, a total of $12 value. Be sure to send it to us. We ought to develop a confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. See you next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. My friends, we're going to continue next week on these more fuzzy facts. We're going to start with fuzzy fact number 128. I want you to stay tuned to us. These are important things in the day in which we live. See you next week. Same time, same station. So long.